before I share what I feel God wants to speak to you guys, just to pray for each other and just get filled up afresh with the Spirit. Is anyone up for that? So I would encourage you to stand up, move around, and just go and pray for each other to be filled with the Spirit. Because I feel the Spirit wants to stir it up this morning, and that happens much more easily when we're full up of the Spirit ourselves, because we can say yes more easily to God. So let's just welcome him. The river's here, and that's our starting point for this morning. I want to share stuff with you here, speak prophetically into you as a congregation of what the Spirit is doing. And, you know, we don't need to try and make the river be here. Oh, if only the river was here. The river is here. We just need to get in it. So I just want to say that to you this morning. I want to encourage you to get in the river and don't get out. Is anyone else up for that? It's a much easier way to live the Christian life. It's in the river. So yeah, you know, we are in a new season, I believe, in this country where God is moving in power. And sorry, you know, it's just like I can see it so clearly just over these last few weeks, see what the Spirit is doing. And I feel really bold in what I'm going to share this morning. It's a bit scary to be bold because you're like, ah, but I see it so clearly. So I just want to boldly proclaim what I see to encourage us to align ourselves with what God is doing in our nation at this time. And just want to tell you a couple of stories. Who's heard about what's been happening in Maidenhead this week? Has anyone heard? A few people. It's been amazing. For those of you who don't know, both our church and most of the other kind of churches in Maidenhead, the youth workers have been working together, planning a week which has just happened, which was called Christianity Awareness Week. And they went to all the different senior schools in Maidenhead. And who's heard of LZ7? Yeah? If you don't know, they're a Christian band that one of the guy who's the leader of it, he actually grew up in River. And they do amazing stuff in Manchester, going into all the schools there and seeing God do awesome things and young people coming to know Jesus. So they came this week and they went through all these different schools. And when they went to the different schools, they had whole year groups. So everybody in the school got to be part of that, got to see them do all their music and hear the gospel. And everywhere they went, there was such a buzz in the schools that people, those young people, suddenly, like, their minds were being turned around. Christianity isn't some boring, dead religion, but it's something alive and vibrant. They actually got to see something of the true Jesus. And just as we've been hearing the stories this week, it's just been so exciting. And on Friday, they had a concert in the Magnet in Maidenhead, and all the tickets were sold out, 850. It's amazing, isn't it? And I don't know the exact figures, but hundreds of young people responded to salvation, so much that they ran out of Bibles and they had 200 Bibles. This is like happening in our own place. And it's just so amazing, so exciting. So I just want to encourage you to really pray for those young people, because the whole follow-up thing will be so key. And the youth workers are really working hard together to try and put a strategy in place for that. But yeah, it's really amazing. And last week at the Journey, the week before, I really felt like I should speak on Acts 10, the whole thing about, you know, when Peter has the vision where Jesus, you know, kind of God tells him to kill and eat all animals, all that kind of thing. And he gets a revelation that the gospel is for the Gentiles, abbreviated version of that. And I just felt that I really spoke into the Journey that God is calling us to reach out to people who are different from ourselves. If you look around the journey, because, you know, we started off reaching out in students, then people stage, you know, it's mostly a white middle class kind of congregation. And I know that God is calling us beyond that. And I was kind of encouraging people to get ready because it's going to completely shake up our church. The next week, it started to happen. It was crazy. Basically, just want to talk you through that week because I want to speak into what the Spirit is doing. So we have this thing called Life Worth Living once a month where we have a station in the middle of the village where we give out teas and coffees and chat to people, build relationship, pray for them. And then we kind of go around treasure hunting, looking for people to pray for. And we have a prayer room going on at the same time. So that's kind of what we do. And before we do that on the Friday night, we always have a prayer meeting. And that prayer meeting was just amazing. We are really strict. It's 7 to 8 so that, you know, people know we really are sticking to time and so they can feel enabled to make the commitment to be part of it. Because obviously Friday night prayer meeting is quite a big deal. So we were having a great time and the Holy Spirit just came there. And one of the girls, she had really bad back. She'd been off work all week and she'd been to the doctor and found out what was wrong and she was going to have to get some stuff to sort it out. And she hobbled in to my flat and we were praying and then we were like, just got this sense of enough is enough. She's going to get healed. It was like the Spirit just came on us and we just were crying out to God for her to get healed. And she did. And she got 90% healed. She would say there was still like a little twinge, but it was like a phenomenal difference from like hobbling to being able to stand up straight and walk. And it was like a gradual process that happened. We just kept on praying. But the thing about it was, and I feel like this is what is happening in this season, is it wasn't like we pushed in and cried out for God and then God came. God was already there. And because His Spirit was there, He enabled us to push in for more. That was kind of the way that it happened. And so we were just going, we're like, right, we're going to go for more. And each time a little bit more would happen. And it was just amazing to the point where the prayer meeting ended up going way over 8 o'clock and no one cared, you know, because they were having such fun in the presence. And afterwards, most of us were going to a birthday party in one of the pubs. And so we were like, all late for that. We were like, right, we're going to bring the glory into the pub and have some fun. So that was great. And then we had Life Worth Living on the Saturday morning and it was just so easy just to talk to people who we've been doing this for a few months now, started to come and find us and chat to us. And there was just those beginning things happening. And in the evening, we were having our fireworks party. And as we were inviting people to this fireworks party, we were like, everybody that we speak to already knows about this fireworks party. We're like, because it's a village and things move around. We were like, you know, everyone's really excited. I was excited and also really like, ah, all these people are going to come. Ah, this is going to be too dangerous. Are we going to have enough food? All that kind of stuff. So I was excited and scared all in one. So we had our fireworks party. And we had every age from young to old. We had people in wheelchairs. We had people who had mental health problems. You know, we had all different types of people come into this fireworks party. There was 100 guests, which if you think the journey is still quite a small congregation because we have a constant turnover of students. This was like huge for us. 100 people who weren't necessarily our friends, just people that we'd met in the village. And we had great conversations with them and just building relationship with those people. And we were like, wow, it's really happening. And then the next day on the Sunday, after our meeting, we were having a community lunch, which is something that we just started doing. This was our second one. We're doing it once a month to try and create a space to bring people into who can't, you know, come into a meeting would be too much, but they appreciate coming into that kind of space. And the great thing was that on the Saturday evening, some people who'd kind of been away from God came to the fireworks party, which was really exciting in itself, and then invited them to come to lunch. And one of the girls who, like, you know, there's been stuff going on there. She came to the lunch and she so enjoyed just being in that space and was talking about coming next time and having those conversations. And when we had this lunch, every time we've been doing it, we don't know who's going to come. And as the meeting was coming to the end, one of the guys whispered to me, there's a bunch of people queuing up to come in. And there were like a whole bunch of old people in their 80s and 90s all coming in. And it was so exciting and so amazing. You know, we ran out of plates. We had enough food, hallelujah, but we ran out of plates. And the whole place was completely full up with people. So we were like, we're having Christmas dinner next time. We were like, oh, you know, we've got to work out another strategy. And there we are with all these different types of people. And it was really hard work, but at the same time, it was easy. They were just there. Come in. All we had to do was to invite them. And one of the ladies, she was so sweet. I said to her, oh, how did you hear about the lunch? And she was like, well, I was sitting in the bus stop and this nice young man came over and invited me to come. And I was like, wow, a free lunch on a Sunday. And I was just like, all we have to do is invite people, go out to where they are. And it's very, very exciting. And the reason I'm telling you these stories is because I don't believe, oh, this is an exciting thing that's happening here or there. I believe it's happening in the whole of the country. So I just want us to go. So let's start off. Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now I know that these verses apply always, but I really feel that it's a now word. It's a now word here for Slough. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we need to be crying out to God. I love that, you know, it says beseech. It's that desperation that God would send the harvesters to come and harvest here with you for Slough. Because your problem is not, is there a harvest? That's not your problem. Your problem is about bringing it in. Workers are needed to bring in the harvest. Let's just go to John 4, verse 35. John 4 verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. I just want to stop there before I carry on reading. I just want to say that to you here in Slough. You know, don't say, oh yeah, the harvest is 4 months away. It's not. It's here. Maybe some of you have already seen it. Maybe some of you haven't. Maybe actually the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today, look and see that the harvest is ripe right now. The harvest is ripe. right, let's carry on reading. Verse 36. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. But in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. And I just feel for you guys here, I know many of you have labored over many years for this town in Slough. But I also believe that together with what you have sown yourselves, that there, obviously we all, maybe most of us would know that there is a huge history here in Slough of the generations that have gone before who have sown into this area. And that there is an opportunity now to reap what previous generations have sown. And it's not just for what people have sown in Slough, it's what people have sown into our nation, going back hundreds of years of where people have cried out to God to move in our nation. And it's like all of that stuff still applies now. It's not lost in the ether. It still applies now. Where others have sown, it's time to reap. And so I'm really here to say, come on, go and bring in the harvest. You know, I'm not saying it. I don't want to say like a heavy message which makes you feel condemned. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the Spirit as we align ourselves with Him, just like how we found at that prayer meeting that the Spirit was there to enable us to really break through in that healing there. So yeah, you know, there's something on God's heart where I just see so clearly the harvest is here. Let's get ready to bring it in. Let's not wait for it. Let's just go and see where the field is and just bring it in. So let's go back to Matthew 10. So after Jesus has told them that the harvest is ripe, the works of you, then 10 verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Then let's go down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just want to stop there. Just want to pull out 2 points so far from this passage is that Jesus has given us authority to bring the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. We need to learn to walk in our authority. We need to just give ourselves to it and say, right, I'm going to learn how to walk in the authority. We need to almost, sounds a bit harsh, but past disappointments, past kind of things, we need to kind of put them behind us and say, right, now is the time. Jesus has given us all authority. I'm just going to go and walk in it. I know it's not always as straightforward as that, but fundamentally believe that that is what God is saying to us. And then here we are. You see, Jesus, he gives them a specific mission of people to go to. You know, he tells them, right, on this particular mission, you're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that will apply to you here in Slough, that the Holy Spirit will show you what are the specific people here in Slough that he's calling you to go to. And there'll be specific people for you as a congregation. There'll be specific people for you as individuals alongside of that. But it's actually to hear what is the Spirit saying, because we can think of this great big, oh, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. It becomes this great big kind of thing. And we think, where do we start? It's like, ah, you know, but actually the Holy Spirit gives us specific strategy to be like, right, at this time, in this season, who are the people that God is calling us to go to bring them in? So I encourage you to be asking the Spirit about that. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Wow. It'd be very, I can't wait till we see someone raised from the dead. It's going to be like crazy. One time, I think actually it was the last time I preached in Slough, and Andy from the Journey, he'd been doing worship as well. And we drove back together and we saw this ambulance going, obviously, to go and pick up someone who dies in the estate where we live. And I said to Andy, Cora, I can't wait for the day when we're so full of the Spirit that we, you know. But anyway, verse 9, do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even 2 coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. Let's just think about those verses. You know, I think one key thing that comes out to me from that verse is making ourselves light so that we can do the work of God. You know, in our culture, material possessions so often weigh us down, don't they? From being able to be free to do what God calls us to do, because we're trying to maintain our lifestyle or all kinds of things that happen with that. It could be all kinds of things. It's different for each person. But I just want to encourage you that in this season, when God is calling us to bring in the harvest, just to be come before God again and just say to him, maybe you've already done it before, you know, what things are weighing me down that are going to stop me from being free, just to go and do what you're calling me to do, and just ask the Spirit just to show you anything that you kind of need to leave behind or whatever that may be. You know, the Spirit will challenge us in different ways to not become too attached to earthly things that stop us from following his call in our lives. Because the reality is, we've only got a short season here on the earth to see God's kingdom come, and then we're going to have eternity in heaven, and it's going to be awesome. And so we want to be light with the things that are here. We want to have that heavenly perspective. And so I want to encourage you to consider that in your own life. Verse 11, and whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it's not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So, you know, when it looks at that, I just think what I want to draw out of that for us here is that, you know, as we are going out and we are bringing in the harvest, we will experience rejection along the way. And when that happens, we need to become good. Not that we become, that we protect ourselves from our emotional feelings for that, but we still, in God, and we're supporting each other, we work out a way just to wipe the dust off our feet, shake the dust off our feet, you know, not let it get into us so much that disappointment comes in and stops us from being able to keep on going on our mission. And we all know that that is a very real reality for us. So it's like Jesus is speaking into that reality. Verse 16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. I love that, you know, that we can be all innocent, but we can also be wise and know cunning, you know, that's my best way to describe it. I love that. Okay, verse 17, but be aware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say. For it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So as we're doing all of that, we may experience persecution along the way. But if we are in that place where we are partnering with the Father, we're living in the Spirit, we don't need to be in fear about those things. Because if we find ourselves in those positions, the Spirit will give us words to say. He'll show us how to deal with those situations. And in our culture, it might not be as obvious as being thrown into prison. You know, we're not at that place at the moment. Hopefully it will never be like that. But you know, sometimes it's like we're trying to do stuff and we have all this red tape and these laws that stop us from doing different things, and we have to work our way around them, you know, and all that kind of stuff that happens. You know, I always think to myself, especially with working in the university, you know, they have all their kinds of rules and regulations about stuff to try and stop you. But I always think there's a way, and I always trust the Spirit to give us a way in there. And usually we find a way to get around that stuff. So, yeah, I just want to summarize where I've got to, and then want to read some stuff from Ezekiel, and I want to get us for the last 15 minutes doing some praying and prophesying for Slough, stirring us up. But so I just want to say the Spirit of God is moving in our nation. The Spirit of God is moving in Slough. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So we need to be crying out to God to send us more workers, send us more workers here in this congregation. That's what we need. Don't think the harvest is 4 months away. The harvest is now. So the question isn't, oh God, send us the harvest. It's right. Okay, Holy Spirit, show us what harvest are we supposed to be going and ploughing in. Give us the strategy to know how to bring in that harvest. We need to know the authority that Jesus has given us to bring the kingdom, and we need to walk in it with absolute boldness. Just like when we read through Acts, we see that the Spirit comes upon them. And the thing that really stands out to me when I read Acts always is the absolute boldness that believers had. And it wasn't a boldness that came from human confidence in their own abilities. It was a boldness that came when they had that impartation, that visitation of the Spirit, which pushed them out. And so we need to walk in that. We need to every day just be letting the Spirit fill us and walking in our authority. You know, some of us, we need a fresh personal revival. You know, I mean, we've seen a lot. We've seen God move. And actually, just want to say on that, this week I was with some leaders from around the country in Pioneer. And that they were sharing different things that God is doing around the country, and it's very encouraging to see. But one of the things that some of them said was that they've seen God move before in the past, and then they feel like they've almost screwed it up because it didn't continue. You know, different people have different opinions on whether or not they screwed it up, but you know, this was people sharing this. And now they're beginning to see the Spirit move again. And because of what they've seen in the past, it was kind of like this excitement but fear. I'm so excited that I'm seeing God move in this fresh way, but a fear like, oh, I don't want what happened before to happen now. And for some of you, that might be the reality for you right now, is that you've seen God do it before. You've gone through disappointments and all that kind of stuff. And as you will begin to see the Spirit doing again, maybe there'll be fear that comes in. And I just want to encourage you just to be real about that. Talk to friends about it. Pray it through with God. Don't just let it kind of seep there, but that is a real reality and something that's part of the journey to work through in this season for the church in the UK. But let's just go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them around about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. And I just feel, I love that. This is a prophetic passage into the church here in Slough, that we want to speak, prophesy to the dry bones, that there is an army that will rise up, that will take the town of Slough. Are you with me? So we've got about 10 minutes, and I just feel that it'd be really good for us to spend some time praying into this, prophesying to the dry bones, whatever, however the Spirit leads us, but we want to stir it up this morning, because it's not just us having a hyped up time. When we pray and we prophesy into things, it changes things, because we have that authority in us to speak those things into being. And so you've got to believe that this isn't just a nice little way to the end of the meeting. This is about something that will affect people's destinies, that prayer shakes up stuff. And, you know, obviously you guys have been doing Kairos and it's been stirring you up. And Sandra was saying how she doesn't want to go somewhere. She wants to stay here. And there's a side of me that's kind of excited, because I was really encouraged when I heard Di was telling me a little while ago how she felt that to be here in Slough, you had to have a missionary mindset. You need to see yourself as a missionary to Slough. And so obviously, Sandra, you're called as a missionary to Slough. But, you know, we want to stir up you guys as the missionaries here called to be in Slough. So can we stand up? Can we maybe come together? But let's just have a bit of a free-for-all. I just want to encourage you to pray your prayers into the microphone, to prophesy stuff into the microphone, and let's just stir it up in the spirit for Slough. So who wants to kick us off? Yeah. Let's come together. We're like a mighty army together.
Yeah, Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you called this church into being for a specific reason, Father God. We've had all these prophetic words, and Father, we want to just repeat them now to you, Lord God, to remind ourselves, to remind you, Lord God, of what you promised to do with us. And that is to reach every tribe, every tongue, every nation, Lord God, that is represented in Slough. And so we speak that word now in the name of Jesus. We command every dry bone to come to life, Lord. In Jesus' name, we say, be raised up. Yeah, Father God, we know, Lord God, that there are so many that can be helping us here, Lord God, that have known you, Lord God, that have got no permanent home at the moment. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would bring them in and help us to do the reaping, Lord God, that we see. But Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God, for your promise. And Lord God, we just want to stir ourselves up with that afresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go for it. Right. Yeah, right over this town, there are people that have known you. There are people that have once been to churches and have had their lives transformed. And they were like bone. I just feel that the Lord's saying those are people who had bones with flesh on. But the flesh has fallen off for whatever reason, and now they're dry bones. So we speak to those bones that once had were covered with flesh. Oh, those bones that were walking around as human beings in this town, full of the Spirit of God, that are no longer covered in flesh and walking around, but they're like dry bones scattered on the floor of this town. And so we speak to those dry bones now. We prophesy to them and say, dry bones, once again, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Rise up and become that mighty army in this town. Yeah, amen.
Lord, I want to pray this morning for those, Lord, that pass through the Sunday schools and youth clubs. You know, hundreds and hundreds of children and young people over the years, and they've moved to different parts of the country, different parts of the world. Many of them, Lord, are still local. They have husbands, they have children, and many of them have grandchildren. They have in-laws, they have extended family and friendships. And Lord, we pray that what was put into them in the Sunday schools and the clubs, that you will stir it up. And there will be a great harvest, because not only they will come back to you or make a decision, but Lord, they will bring their families with them and their friends, people that they've met over the years, that Lord, their social connections, Father, they will influence them. They will have a great impact on many, many people. And the seeds of sown, Lord, will even yet produce a tremendous harvest in this town. We ask this in the name of Jesus.
Father, I just want to pray that We see this town and the people through your eyes, Lord, that we see them, Lord, with eyes of love, that we see this town, that we see the vision that's in your heart for Slough, Father. That, Lord, when we look, we won't be like the spies in, I can't remember which book it is, but they look and they say, oh, they're just too big for us, just too much for us, just too overwhelming for us. Father, I pray we won't see it that way, that we will know each and every one of us has been called to something. Lord, each and every one of us, you have put something in our hearts, Lord. You have put something in our belly, Father, that you want us to release in this town. So, Father, help us to see what that is. Help us to know where we need to go, to say what we need to say, to do what we need to do, Father. Help us, Lord, to see this place with your eyes, Lord, with your heart, Father, and help us to get a desperation, Lord God, in our hearts, Father, that Lord, you've given us something. You've given us salvation, Father, and so much more than just that, Father. But Lord, we just pray that we will go where your feet send us, where you send us, our feet will go, Father. So we just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, in your word you say, see, darkness covers the earth. And we know, Lord, that darkness covers this town of Slough. And we know that there are dark clouds over this town. But Lord, this morning, by faith, we want to pull down the kingdom of heaven into this town, Lord God. Into every household, every man, woman, and child, we claim for the kingdom of God, Lord. That they will come and bow the knee to King Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will pour out your spirit on every place of worship, in gurdwaras, in temples, in mosques. Lord, that people will turn to Jesus, Lord, that you will open their eyes to see Jesus and open their ears to hear his voice, calling them into his kingdom, Lord, into the joy of the kingdom of God, into the peace of the kingdom of God. And Father God, we call all those prodigals that we have prayed for, Lord, earlier, Lord God. They will come running back to the Father's house, to the abundance of the Father's house, Lord God. And Father, we call every single person in this town, and we declare that the goodness of God will be seen in this town. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we declare your kingdom come to Slough. And Father, Lord, yes, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come to Slough, Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come. Thank you, Lord.
This is not so much a prayer as a picture. I see it thinking about the river of life, a crystal river. But underneath that crystal river, there's the silt and the mud and stuff like that. And I think God would want us to just, with people, we might see the crystalness on top, that everything's fine and good. But he wants us to just reach in and just pull out that treasure, that we would dredge for the treasures that are his.
Yeah, Lord, we thank you that you have promised to give us the nations. And we thank you for the nations that are here in Slough that belong to you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that these nations will come and give their treasures to you because you have said so, Lord, and because you are deserving of the honor. And Lord God, I thank you that by placing us here, your kingdom is here. And Lord, I say that we are ready to extend your rule, that we are ready to extend your kingdom in Slough, Lord God. And we just pray for more workers, Lord God, to join us and just reap that harvest that is so ready, Lord God. Amen.
Father, I've seen you work, Lord, in many, many places. Father, and this is another place that needs to see your hand. This is a place that needs to see your healing. This is a place that needs to see your grace and your holiness. And Father, as we go out as missionaries to this town, we can shake the dust of our own flesh off of our feet, and we can walk in the Spirit. Father, that's what you're after. You're after us walking in your spirit so that we can speak to your spirit in other people. Father, this is my prayer, that we shake off the dust of our own flesh and reach out in the spirit to put flesh, your flesh, on the dry bones that are in this town. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, your word says that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Lord, even in this town of Slough, we thank you because this land is filled with the knowledge of your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you are the God of a second chance. Lord, this nation knew you before. This town knew you before. Now the power of evil, the power of darkness is pulling the soul of this nation, the soul of this town away from you. And we stand in the gap in the behalf of Slough to say, oh God, Slough is coming back to Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that you said you build your church upon this rock and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, we thank you because your church is rising up in Slough as a mighty army that cannot be restrained, that cannot be kept back, that cannot be prevailed against. In the name of Jesus. We thank you because your glory is bursting forth. We thank you, O God, because your glory is bursting forth. We thank you, O God, because in the marketplace, on the high streets, in the offices, O God, on the buses, in the bus stops, just on the streets, Father, we thank you because revival is flowing. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, and I just want to pray that your Holy Spirit would just release heavenly strategies, Lord, to this congregation. Lord, I pray that for Tom and for the rest of the leadership team. I pray for that for everybody in this congregation, that there would be a release of heavenly strategies, Lord, that you would give them the keys that would unlock stuff, that, Lord, just because it would just be easy because it's in your spirit, Lord. So, Lord, just release that heavenly strategy, Lord. Release dreams, visions. I pray for connections, Lord. Yeah. Lord, that we would align ourselves here with your purposes to bring in that kingdom, Lord. We'd align ourselves with the heavenly army that are coming to take Slough. We want to align ourselves with that heavenly army, Lord. And so, Lord, would you give us eyes to see? So that we would align, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you're going to do awesome things in this place. Thank you, Lord.